You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor today, the Reverend Paul Warnier from Zion Lutheran Church in Browns Valley, Minnesota. Good morning, Pastor Warnier.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us this morning and looking forward to studying God's Word with you this morning. Tell us about Zion Lutheran Church in Browns Valley, Minnesota, please.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you. Zion is a congregation. We're right located on the western border of Minnesota, stone's throw from South Dakota. So I actually have as many members from South Dakota as I do Minnesota. The congregation is a little less than 300 baptized members. Have existed. We celebrated our centennial back in 2000, so 115 years old. We're located in a rural farming community area, also between two lakes, so there's some fishing and good pheasant hunting in the fall months of the year. I've been here about 22 years and have had a very enjoyable ministry with God's people here.
Well, thanks be to God for that. The ministry proclaiming the good news of Jesus in Browns Valley, Minnesota, there at Zion. We are studying Acts chapter 24 today, verse 24, through chapter 25, verse 12. What would you like for us to know as we prepare to study today?
As we look at this text, I guess it comes at the after the end of Paul's third missionary journey. He returned to Jerusalem, and some of the Jews, the Pharisees, the council of the ruling council of the Jews were stirring up troubles against Paul, complaining that he was, they had all sorts of things, some false accusations that he was disregarding their Jewish law, and they were threatening to kill him. And so Paul heard about, through relatives, heard about this, and was taken to the governor, the Roman governor, Felix, in the city of Caesarea. And that's kind of the beginnings of the text, per se, as we share it this morning.
All right, let's take a look. Acts chapter 24, verse 24. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. All right. If you have a question or a comment today, listeners, you can give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area, or toll-free 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, KFUO at KFUO.org. We'd be glad to take some questions or comments as we dig in this morning. All right, Pastor, so verse 24, after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control in the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." So he came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish.
Yeah. So interesting. Felix was the Roman governor, but married to Drusilla. She was Jewish, and so probably had some understanding or background of the Jewish concerns about the Apostle Paul. I find it interesting that through all this process and through Paul's threat, the threat against Paul of being killed, that he was taken to Felix, and that Paul had an opportunity to speak about faith in Christ Jesus, how the Lord worked even through the death threats and the political turmoil that was going on in Paul's life, it was still an opportunity to speak about faith in Jesus Christ.
And so he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, but Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul, so he sent for him often and conversed with him.
As Paul reasoned, about righteousness is through faith in Jesus Christ, and self-control, the coming judgment. Felix was alarmed, I guess. Maybe the law of the coming judgment was perhaps the alarm, and that he didn't fully understand or recognize the righteousness of Christ that Paul was talking about at this point in time yet. So he was alarmed and I don't know if I want anything to do with you for the moment. I'll summon you when I get a chance. Then I find it interesting, verse 26, political intrigue again. At the same time, he hoped money would be given him by Paul. He was hoping for a bribe so that Paul would say, "Oh, if I give you money, you can set me free." I see we talk about political corruption in our day. I guess there's a little bit of that going on even in the New Testament times already.
When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison.
Sometimes we zip by these things, but to think 2 years, that was quite a length of time. And Paul was conversing off and on with Felix during these times. We're never really told whether Felix finally came to faith or not, but and then as he was succeeded in office, again, kind of a little political intrigue, desiring to do the Jews a favor. Maybe they pulled some strings and wanted to have some influence. And so Felix left Paul sitting in prison in Caesarea there.
Anything else up through verse 27 before we go on to chapter 25?
Not that I'm aware of or not that I'm thinking of at the moment.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look at chapter 25, beginning of the first verse. Now, 3 days after Festus had arrived in the province, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea, and the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews laid out their case against Paul, and they urged him, asking as a favor against Paul, that he summon him to Jerusalem because they were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus replied that Paul was being kept at Caesarea and that he himself intended to go there shortly. "So," he said, "let the men of authority among you go down with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let him bring charges against him."
Festus, the new governor, came into office. And Jerusalem was probably part of his gubernatorial. He was the Roman governor. And interesting, the chief priests and principal men of the Jews laid out their case against Paul. After 2 years, they were still out to get him. And they were asking that Paul be brought back to Jerusalem for a trial, and they had plans to kill him. Interesting, that kind of goes back to chapter 23. The Jews had gathered and were angry with Paul, and they took an oath that, we're not going to even eat anything until we've killed Paul. Well, obviously they must have ate and drank in between there, but they still had in mind, we want to get rid of Paul, we want him dead. So there were still death threats against Paul. And Festus wisely, I don't know if he understood fully the death threats or anything, but the political protocol for him was, well, you know, my leadership, my headquarters is in Caesarea. I'm going there. If there's problems, send your men to Caesarea and bring the charges that you have against him. I'll hear the charges. And so that's where Festus left it and then returned to Caesarea.
Let the men of authority among you go down with me. And if there's anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him.
Yeah, you know, it was the authorities of the Jews, the authorities of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, were the ones then charged with bringing charges to Caesarea to set before Festus.
All right, Pastor. Looking at this text up through verse 5, anything else before we look at the next section?
So, I think it just interested me, all of the political intrigue that went on, and even, you know, the death threats. I think in modern day, we're hearing, you know, threats of death to the Christians from the terrorists and things. And we think how horrible it is. It's really not new. I mean, it happened already in New Testament times. Paul was really being threatened more because he was proclaiming Christ and his resurrection, and that was a threat to the Jews and the Jewish leaders who preached the work righteousness rather than a righteousness by faith in Christ.
So there's nothing new under the sun.
This is true. This is true.
Not much has changed over time. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Paul Warnier from Zion Lutheran Church in Browns Valley, Minnesota. We're in Acts chapters 24 and 25 today. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll take a look at verses 6 through 12. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Paul Warnier from Zion Lutheran Church in Browns Valley, Minnesota. If you have a question or a comment on the text, we are in Acts chapter 25. You can give us a call or an email. 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 25, beginning at verse 6. After he stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. When he had arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him that they could not prove. Paul argued in his defense, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense." But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, "Do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and there be tried on these charges before men?" But Paul said, "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, "To Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go." So after he had stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought.
This was after Festus had gone to Jerusalem, and the Jews came to him with their arguments, their charges against Paul, and he had said, well, he's in Caesarea, and I'm going back there. We'll take up your case there. And so he returned, Festus, the governor, returned to Caesarea and ordered Paul to be brought. And the Jews then brought charges against him that they could not prove. It's kind of interesting to me, the parallels between this and Jesus' case before Pontius Pilate. Pilate was the governor at Jesus' time and listened to all the charges against the Jews, and I found nothing wrong with the man. And here again, they're not able to validate any legitimate political charges that Paul was deserving of death, and yet they were still wanting to kill him.
Paul argued in his defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense.
Yeah, you know, and that was the issue from the Jewish leaders' point of view. They were feeling that Paul was denying some of their requirements of the law that he had preached up in on his missionary journeys, and stories were that he had denied their law and given up on the law, and everything was just free in Christ. And to them, that was just blasphemy and heresy. They were still living under the law of Moses, and Paul was saying, hey, I'm still upholding that law, but in the spirit of, as a result of faith in Christ, we have ability and strength to obey the law. And then he looked legally against Caesar, against the Roman government. Paul felt, you know, there was no crime he had committed, nothing he had done wrong. And so he made his defense to Festus.
And Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and be tried on these charges before me? Why would Festus wish to do the Jews a favor?
Interesting question. I guess I look at that and see, again, the political intrigue. I'm sure the Jews, he kind of wanted to keep peace with the Jews. Again, I go back to Jesus' trial before Pilate, and Pilate, seeing that riots were starting to happen, he didn't want to lose his status as governor if he couldn't control the Jews. So Festus maybe didn't want to get the Jews all riled up and perturbed to start riots and lose his control over the situation. Perhaps also the Jews had, done things for Festus. There was maybe some, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back type of political intrigue going along with this too.
Do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and there be tried on these charges before me? But Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal where I ought to be tried. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But there's nothing to the charges against me. No one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar.
Paul was a Roman citizen, and that's part of the reason for his trials, before the Roman governor and things. Interestingly, as Paul looks at this, he's standing before the governor, the governing authority, and basically saying, hey, I have done no wrong. if I am wronged or have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I am willing to suffer the consequences. He was obedient to the civil authorities, showing honor and respect that was due to the governor. In his statement to the Jews, I have done no wrong either, and he had already talked to the Sanhedrin officials and told them about his Damascus experience and how he had met Christ and how that really was fulfillment of all of the Jewish prophecies of the Old Testament, and Jesus as the fulfillment of the law. And so he's claiming doing nothing wrong against the Jews or against the Roman government and Caesar as well. So he does not want to go back to Jerusalem, knowing full well that their threat to kill him is still standing. And so he says, I appeal to the Caesar, the Roman emperor in Rome. And so Festus finally says, well, if that's the case, to Caesar you have appealed, then to Caesar you shall go.
And Paul says, you know, if I have done something wrong, if then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. That's a bold statement.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think it's a statement of confidence on his part that, you know, I know I've done nothing wrong, and so it's kind of the contrast, you know, if I've done anything wrong. But also, he's submitting to the governing authorities, too, and saying, hey, if by honest trial, if there are legitimate cause, I'm willing to suffer the consequences. But I think he spoke it in the confidence that he had done nothing wrong, and that even in death, he knew a Lord who would protect him and keep him and even give him eternal life if he should die at this point in time. So Paul didn't have a fear of death. He knew his Lord and the promise of eternal life.
Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answered, to Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go.
Yeah, and then this was on the basis of, you know, Paul's statement. He says, I have done nothing wrong. If you can't decide my case, Felix or Festus, I appeal to Caesar. As a Roman citizen, I have the right to have my case heard before the supreme authority. Almost comparable to saying today, I take it to the Supreme Court. I appeal your decision or your thoughts. You've come up with nothing against me, so I appeal it on to the next higher court.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else we can learn from this text from Acts chapter 24 and 25?
The one interesting thought from the last verse, then, to Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go, is that eventually, as the book of Acts continues on, Paul was taken to Rome and by ship, and interestingly enough, in the course of the travels, he had opportunity. They had shipwreck at Malta, and he had opportunity to preach Christ to the people there. And then the book of Acts ends with him in Rome, and the ending of the book of Acts, he lived there 2 years, 2 whole years at his own expense, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. I mean, through all the political intrigue, through the false charges, through the death threats, God was at work giving Paul an opportunity to continue proclaiming the gospel, not only in Jerusalem and Caesarea, but in the ship trip to Rome, the shipwreck at Malta, and at Rome to meet with the Christians and to proclaim the gospel there. And so it all worked. I guess I go to Romans 8, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his plan. So even the death threats and the political workings and plottings all worked for good and for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And may we have such faith as Paul when he said, "If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death."
Yeah.
Such a bold statement, a statement I'm sure made in faith.
Yes. And I think we're going to see us facing those threats in days and years to come in our society, too, that there might be a time we see it now and overseas and in some countries. We think we're protected here in America, but I'm not so sure either that we might be facing threats to our Christian faith, and to be able to stand boldly and say, if I deserve death, I'm not afraid to die. Knowing maybe that we don't deserve death, but yet being willing to face it for the sake of Christ and his gospel.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Paul Warnier from Zion Lutheran Church in Browns Valley, Minnesota. Pastor Warnier, thanks so much for being our guest pastor today and helping us study in Acts chapters 24 and 25.
Thank you much. I appreciate having been on with you and the honor of sharing the gospel through KFUO's broadcast.
Indeed, the pleasure was mine. God bless you and all the saints at Zion Lutheran Church in Browns Valley, Minnesota. We have more of his time, including some sacred music, coming up right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.